This painting came into my life on my 41st birthday. My then 12-year-old son and I were on an adventure in Barcelona, Spain. Each day, we would walk along the Ramblas, a hub of activity, offering everything to anyone. And he was particularly enamored with the spray paint artist who could create art using different colors of spray paint, elaborate swishing and stenciling techniques. They were dreamy and imaginative pieces. On this particular day, I was determined to buy myself a birthday present, so was looking intently at the many booths. I almost missed the artist, sitting in a dilapidated folded chair next to a clothing rack of canvases hanging from trouser hangers. His collection included realistic Spanish scenes for tourists and this painting. It was the only one like it. When I first inquired about the painting, I was ignored, and it soon became apparent that language separated us. My inquiries about the painting were met with sadness, for both of us wanted so badly to talk about the painting. I wanted to buy it and understand it, and he wanted to sell it to a person who would love it or at least appreciate it. He finally located a translator, and I found a cash machine. But before we parted, there was a life-changing exchange. And because of this painting, my life will never be the same. Before I tell you the story about this painting, remember your own story. It's your story. On the back of the painting are 12 words written in Spanish, which I will not even attempt to pronounce. The words translate as shouts, liberty, board, hate, celebration for everything you must pass through by A. Alfandari. This painting is the artist's expression of Spanish history. In 1931, the Spanish people revolted and overthrew their king. In 1936, there was a civil war, and in October of 1936, Franco came to power. This began a 40-year military dictatorship in which there was social and economic oppression, political repression, and an end to world relationships. Thousands of people living in Spain were killed because they would not accept the regime of Franco. In 1975, Franco died and the king came back in power. In 1977, the country became a constitutional monarchy with a parliamentary democracy. In 1982, Spain joined NATO. In 1985, the European Union. Spain is now considered to be equal to its European neighbors in terms of its personal and political freedoms. No small feat, considering its history. The artist who did this painting lived through this and captured on canvas the complexity of this experience. When I look at the painting, I see a different story each time. Waterfalls, joy, fireworks, chaos, each story or interpretation reflecting my current state of mind or state of affairs. So this painting, this solid, unchanging painting, changes. And thus we have the nature of change. Things change because we exist, observe, and interact differently. Passion. I would like you to ask you a question. It's a hard one, and one you won't be able to answer today. Here's the question. In your everyday experience, what is it that you hear or feel that hurts you to the core? Like a physical blow that in weak moments brings tears to your eyes and twists your gut. And what simple event can trigger this emotional response? This is where passion lies. I've been teaching art for 24 years, and it wasn't until 3 years ago that I understood why. On the surface, I knew, well, I was good at it, I enjoyed it, and I was lucky enough not to have to make money to do it. I also saw the need for it. But why have I fought so hard to keep visual art in a school system that does not support or value it? Why have I volunteered thousands of hours and given my heart to a cause? And why art? 3 years ago, my friend asked me the same question that I put to you earlier. What hurts? It took me a while to figure out, and it took me a trip to my past, but I did find the answer. What hurt me most is a silenced child. To hear a child being told, shut up, be quiet, I don't care what you think, breaks my heart. Battered, beaten, starved, vacant, silenced children. That child dwells in all of us, because all of us at some point in our life have been told to just shut up. Art is an unspoken language of its own that can say what needs to be said to a world who may not be listening. And as we saw with our painting earlier, art speaks in many languages, telling different stories to each listener and observer. In teaching art, I strive to create a safe, loving, and accepting environment where each child has a voice. Like the Romulus artist who shouted through his painting, liberty, board, hate, celebration, for everything you must pass through. What is your passion? Why do you do what you do? Now, I'd like everyone to hold that rock that you got when you came in. Did everybody get one? Does anybody need one? This rock is going to symbolize your passion. Thank you. All right, have a good look and good feel of that rock. Action. How many of you have waned on and on about the wonders of living in the Boise area to conclude with, but don't tell anyone, implying, glad you're here, but we don't want the world to know. Remember the California invasion of the 1980s that drove our housing prices up? We love what we have here in Boise, but we don't want to share it. I've seen a similar pattern here at the Boise Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I have met some of my closest friends here, had incredible opportunities, and shared many, many moments of joy, as have many of you. But there is right here in our fellowship an underlying subconscious, but don't tell anyone. It comes mostly from our mutt mixed backgrounds, an inability to articulate what we are about, and our pickle in regards to evangelism. We don't evangelize because we don't have the answers. We can't offer salvation. We don't really know the way, and the truth is, well, who knows? We're inspired by people, not saved by them, and our saviors are those of our choosing. We're not lorded over, struck down, or born bad. And yet, here we are. Everyone walked through the doors a first time. How did you get here? When I attend the newcomer chat or teach a new you class, I'm humbled and deeply touched by the stories told as how these people have found us and what this place means to them. There's no doubt that this is a spiritual place. But I have to admit that there are times when I don't want to come, when there are people I don't want to see, mostly because I fear that I've let them down, and there are times when I just can't do more. I'm torn between the selfish me, the me I think I should be, and the me, that passionate me. Honestly, this place can be overwhelming and overstimulating. The opportunities and possibilities are endless. I can get so excited about so many things, it's exhausting and exasperating. And there are so many interesting people here and just not enough time to get to know them all. You see why I'm torn up? Selfish me wants to come and absorb. Should me wants to do it all now. And me tries desperately to prioritize and find balance. Well, passion. It all comes back to passion. So many times in this fellowship, we make up rules, design procedures, create job descriptions in the name of being organized. Then we try to recruit the right people for the jobs. A model not unlike how the rest of the world works. I'd like to offer an alternative. Organic growth. Let's start with the assumption that we are all the right people, because we are here. And instead of shooting ourselves to fit into slots provided for us, let us each be the niche makers. Led by your passion, find action. What can you give freely with no strings attached from your heart? What strand can you weave into the tapestry of this congregation or the bigger world? What stone do you add to the stone soup brewing on our hearth? If everyone who walks through the door brings with them their own special ingredient, their unique passion, we will indeed thrive and grow personally and communally into that which is ever-changing and completely unpredictable. Kind of scary. You see the people squirming out there? Those are the board members. Joseph Campbell said, "The inner world is the world of your requirements and your energies and your structure and your possibilities that meets the outer world. And the outer world is the field of your incarnation. That's where you are. You've got to keep both going. The seat of your soul is there where the inner and outer worlds meet. So how can we grow organically? Here's what I'd like to suggest. Step one, find your passion. Ask yourself what hurts. Step two, share and affirm passions by telling others and listening to others. Step three, look for ways to express and manifest your passion. Acting on your passion can take many manifestations. I'm not teaching an art class here today, although I have done that in the past. Today, my passion is being manifested by finding my own voice. Tomorrow, I could follow my passion by listening to another. The next day, by setting up a forum for discussion. I could even be following my passion by making coffee so that all of you could stay and chat after the service. Although you don't want me to do that because I don't drink coffee. So look for ways to express and manifest your passion. Step four, act based on your passion. Step five, step back and evaluate the consequences. That inner world and outer world that Campbell talks about. Step six, begin again. Find your passion, share your passion, look for ways to manifest, act on your passion, reevaluate, and begin again. You are each given a stone upon entering today. I'd like you to keep that stone until you know your passion. It could be weeks, it could even be years. Then, if you are so inclined, bring it back and add it to the stone soup in this pot, as a commitment to act within our fellowship and in the world based upon your passion, knowing that by following your passion or your bliss, you put yourself on a kind of track that has been there all the while waiting for you, and that the life you ought to be living is the one that you are living.
Miriam, I believe we have some time for some congregational comment on this really fascinating topic. Can we have microphones for anybody who would like to share? And just raise your hand if you would like to make a comment.
Miriam, there was a great sermon, and I thank you for it. I was fortunate to be in Spain for the first election after Franco died, and the painting is perfect. It was a cacophony of politics and people that hadn't been able to vote and have a part in their election for many of them since they were born. And it was just an incredible experience, including little European cars driving around with speakers on the top of the car that were as big as the car, blasting out. And I'm not sure what, because it was in Spanish. My Spanish isn't that good. And throwing out leaflets, so many leaflets that the streets were covered, and you couldn't even see the pavement. There were so many leaflets being thrown out during this time, so it was really exciting. And so... as I said, the painting is great. Just one other thing, the board, we might be squirming about change, but we're here to support your change. That's it.
Miriam, when you gave your list of the qualities of sort of creative change, I was struck by how it matched. An interview I'd heard with a woman who was president of a major U.S. corporation, one of the first women to rise to the top, and she described similar qualities, in particular the ability to self-evaluate.
I very much enjoyed your presentation, Miriam, and since I'm an artist myself, I really connected to some of your comments there. But since I'm on the board of directors, I also connected with your comments about organic growth and reminding myself, as we're sitting around all the time thinking about policies and structures and goals, that whatever path you set yourself on, at least you put yourself in motion, and it may not happen as you have planned it, but it will probably be something even better if you just look around you and let yourself absorb what other people contribute to the process, the stone soup. So thank you. I was very moved by your presentation.
These are all the board members. I too want to say thank you. I looked at the painting on my way in, and the thing that strikes me, I think, is with everybody is the color. As the presentation went along, to just listen and absorb the stories and the experience. I'm just returning from Florida, and the thought that strikes me is two things were of particular matter to me. One, the organic growth, and two, which goes hand in hand in that, is this rock, which represents passion. And when you were speaking, I whispered to Kara, I said, I think I have something new for my altar. Why I'm talking about Florida is because I was there for a training about communications, and I'm listening, sitting here thinking, God, what is my passion? And again, I have something from my altar, so you won't be getting this back anytime soon. I think organic growth is the ability to shift and change and look at something and evaluate it and know how does that align with what I have to offer. And because I am on the board, not that I'm speaking because I'm on the board, I think we all have an opportunity to participate in that organic growth. And just like the trees that we all love and adore, we do need to have structure and that ability to give life and that structure for change and for that organic growth. So I really appreciate your presentation.
Good morning, Miriam.
Hi,
there's Bill. There's lots of board members here this morning. There's not usually so many of us at 9:30. I just wanted to say that we very much appreciate the energy and the passion that people bring with them. And I know, and I spoke about this last summer, that when people show up with all of their passion and their hearts and their souls fully engaged, there's a lot of energy. And sometimes it really gets pretty messy. But that's really what we want to see. So I think sometimes the board's job is to just kind of try to provide a little stability for all of the creation and all of the energy that people bring to the church. And I have to tell you, I really enjoy what you bring to the church.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Sharla Ng, and I enjoyed your presentation. My mother's an artist, and I'm not quite sure where I want to begin with this. This is such a wonderful organization, and I'm just beginning my path in this group, and I'm not on the board, so I don't know. I took a cultural anthropology class, and they talked about art and the role of art in culture and how it's for healing and for creating beauty and also for creating an identity, and sometimes that's rebelling, and so it sounds like there's some big change going on. It's what you said syncs up with my life as an individual, because I've lived here all of my life, and I have felt a shift in identity since I got married and had children, and also my marriage, my name changed quite a lot from Robinson to Ng. So I really enjoyed your presentation. I don't know where it's all going to lead, but it's really nice to be here.
I just wanted to say thank you for your presentation. It was very thought-provoking, and I especially liked the piece about trying to figure out your passion through figuring out what hurts you. So thank you, Miriam.
I heard one more, and I put my hand down, but I guess I don't get away that easy. I just wanted to speak up, since I'm not a board member. So it just, some of the things you had out there has been thoughts I'm thinking too, and I'm kind of clinging in here to change. I'm actually debating becoming a member, but part of the hesitancy I have in being a member is that sometimes my passions get away from me, and I'm not sure if I want to stick you guys with me yet. And I got a lot of things going on in my life, but I just want to say a lot of the things that you said sung out to me as well, and some of the things I have is getting involved in social justice and perhaps seeing what a prototypical evangelical UU might look like. So it's of interest to me, too. So you're not alone.
I just want to thank everyone for finding your voice and speaking this morning.
I'm just going to chime in because when she teaches art, she just doesn't teach art. She teaches a lot more than that. Okay, our final hymn is number 108 in your gray hymnal. My life flows on in endless song. Please rise in body or spirit. Close this morning with more words from Eckhart Tolle. Your entire life journey ultimately consists of the steps you are taking at this moment. There is always only this one step, and so you give it your fullest attention. This doesn't mean that you don't know where you are going. It just means this step is primary, the destination secondary. As we extinguish the chalice, let us hold its light with us throughout the week. May it be so.